there that were saved, that he has ministered there. But there is something that's come up that has been a struggle for them, Gnosticism. Christ is good. Believing is good. But we have this higher learning. We have this next level that is so much better that you need to get to or go to. And so in the midst of their, maybe even in the midst of their joy and in their serving the Lord, there was all of a sudden this, maybe this doubt planted. Have I really received enough? Have I really believed all that there is to believe? And Paul wants to reassure them that there, and that's the title of our message tonight, life in Christ, that their life in Christ is complete. And they are to grow up in faith. There's nothing to add to Jesus. There's nothing to take away from Jesus. Their life in Christ is complete. And this theme that we want to talk about, you know, and I think it's something for us tonight, and us in this day here in 2020, especially in this year, this theme, I think he would want for us today, and I'm sure that God wants for us today, to be grounded in our faith. Grounded in our faith. Our life in Christ is complete. We are complete in Christ. And to be grounded in that. And so this proposal that I want to talk about tonight, and we're going to kind of hit some highlights, and I think they're here. Paul wants to remind them of the three R's of faith. The three R's of faith. And I think it's good that we're reminded too of these tonight. That, you know, we need to not think, oh, what's this or what's that? What about this? What about this struggle? We're to be grounded in our faith, grounded in our life in Christ. And so he wants to remind them of how that began, what happened as it took root, and then he has a part, and I think there's a part for us in that third R, for us to do and to respond in this three R's of faith. So we're going to read second chapter, the first 10 verses of Colossians. And so we'll begin with verse 1 and read through the verse 10, and then we're going to make a few comments on these three R's of faith, this groundedness, this life in Christ. Paul says in verse 1, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this, that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just say a quick word of prayer before we begin to look at this. Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for this time that we can spend on the airwaves and here just looking at your word together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you in this way. And we do, once again, pray for the opportunity to serve you together, the body to come together, to be exhorting and encouraging and building up one another in our faith. We pray for that especially tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I like to cook. And I've kind of taught Helen everything she knows. She's out here, by the way, shaking her head no. She's taught me a lot of things about cooking. Now, we cook a little differently. I like to cook, and I get my ingredients out, and I put these things in, one thing here, one thing there, and I put them away. Not so much Helen. Helen has things out all over the counter, flour, sugar, containers. When she gets done, she cleans up everything, but in the middle, it's messy. It is messy in the middle. There's a struggle in the middle, it seems like to me, because I like things that put them away as I use them and back in order, but she just puts it together. But you know, even though it's messy in the middle, I'm thinking, I'm doing this orderly. Helen's a much better cook than I am. And I think one of the reasons she's a better cook than I am is because at the end, the proof is in the product. And one of the reasons that it's so good is because she makes it the best she can, because I don't think she's thinking about the middle so much being messy. I think she's thinking about who she's baking it for and how she wants it to look and how she wants to be presented complete and perfect and just above what you would expect. Just, it may be messy in the middle, but it's complete at the end and much more so than what I could do. Well, life's messy in the middle. Sometimes, and it is, and we're in the middle of a struggle, a mess. And we need to be reminded and encouraged tonight. And I think Paul saw that these people in Colossae were in the middle of a struggle. They were people that were, had come in and were telling them things that maybe weren't necessarily true, maybe adding to truth. And it wasn't true, but they were adding to the truth that they'd been told. And they were a higher learning or Gnosticism that they were trying to get them to believe and to follow after. And he wants to remind them some things. And these foundational things, and I think they're good for us too, this groundedness, the three R's of faith. Well, the first one is this revealing or this revelation. And he begins here. Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I've had on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, for all those who have not personally seen my face." And he says that I want their hearts to be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. There it is. This revealed understanding. The full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. You see, this mystery in the Bible isn't something that we have to go on a journey to try to understand, or it's something that's hidden that we'll never find out. This mystery that God hasn't revealed yet, but it will be revealed. And this mystery, this understanding, this assurance of understanding is this revealing of Christ Himself. John chapter 1 verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, that's Jesus, He has explained Him." You see, Jesus came to reveal God in the flesh to you and to me. We wouldn't have found God. In fact, it says that one of my favorite verses and favorite stories is in Luke chapter 19, where Zacchaeus is, it's revealed to him who Jesus is. And at the end of that passage in Luke 19:10, Jesus says, "For I came to seek and to save the lost, to reveal myself to those who couldn't find me, who wouldn't find me, who would never come looking for me." Paul wants them to remind them that this one that they have now full assurance and understanding, this knowledge of God Himself, this mystery that is something they wouldn't have found out on their own, is Christ Himself. Not learned, but caused to understand. Called, chosen, quickened to life. And how? Through the preaching of the Word of God, through the Gospel. True knowledge of who God is. The love of God. Do you see what he says? This treasure, this mystery of Christ Himself, he says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This knowledge, the love of God. I want to submit to you tonight, Paul says, listen, folks. God has revealed Himself to you, and the love of God has appeared. And what a great treasure that is. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the greatness of the revelation in your life that you have come into a relationship with the God of the universe and He loves you. There's no greater joy, there's no greater treasure than the love of God. And he has brought that to us, revealed himself to us through the preaching of his word, the gospel. True knowledge is the mystery of God. It's Christ himself, this treasure, this wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who this is. You know, we don't figure this out on our own. We didn't put one, two together to make three, and we've got this formula figured out. You know, an example of that is when Paul preached in the book of Acts. And he went to the river where he knew that the Jews would be gathered, and there were those that were gathered there and some prominent women, and there was a woman there, the seller of purple from Thyatira, and she heard the Apostle Paul preach, and you can look that up in the book of Acts, and it says, and when she heard that, what did it say? She figured it out. No. It said that God revealed himself to her. He opened her heart to the understanding of the mystery of who Christ is. That's great encouragement, isn't it? That God has revealed himself to you and to me. He didn't have to do that. He didn't need to do that. And he says, I want you to understand this foundation, this groundedness, this first R is this revealing of who Christ is. God himself. And in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. You know what the persuasive arguments are today? We'll figure this out. We'll get past this ourselves. We just need a new man in the office. We just need a new governor. We just need whatever we need. We need a new vaccine. We'll figure this all out and we'll get past this struggle. But those are just things. They aren't salvation. They aren't eternal life. They're just things and struggles in life that we all go through. But the true treasure is the knowledge of who Jesus is and trusting him. He says this, I'll say this so that no one will delude you, that you stay grounded. You won't be taken aside by persuasive arguments. For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ Jesus. You know, if you're struggling today out there over the airwaves and you're not here with me tonight, you know, God works through whatever means. And if you hear his voice tonight and he's revealing himself through this preaching, through his word, the assurance of understanding that Jesus Christ is the one true Savior, that God himself has revealed himself, maybe through this preaching to you tonight. And God has opened your heart to the understanding of who Christ is. There's a great treasure there. And wisdom and knowledge and power. Receive him tonight, right where you are. Embrace what's been revealed to you, that who Christ is, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again. We're going to talk about that in a second. But that first R, that his revealing of himself through his word and through his spirit, quickening you to understand, to come to full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of the mystery of who Christ is himself. Therefore, if you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You know, that second R is reconciliation. We have been reconciled, at peace with God through Christ. It's not something that we could earn or be on our own or figure it out or do enough good works. Sin and its barrier have been removed, been reconciled by the blood of Christ on the cross. Paul says, that's enough. That's complete. We don't need anything else but that. That's the only way to be reconciled to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, I'll turn back there real quick. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand grounded, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because hope's grounded in Christ. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. This reconciliation moved us from enemy to friends, moved us from separation to fellowship, from not being friends to a friendship with God, to a new life in Christ. And you know, it's all because I wrote down a few things here. This is what, just think of Christ saying this in this reconciliation and the things that he has accomplished for us, and be reminded, be encouraged. Christ said, "My death for their life. My sinlessness for their sin." And he left heaven and he came to earth and dwelt in a body. He says, "My fellowship with the Father and the Spirit that has been eternal and perfect in every way, I left heaven and didn't count it," it says in Philippians, "to be something to be grasped at or to hang on to or to just not want to leave." But he says, "My fellowship so that they may come into fellowship with us. My power for their weakness. My love for their hate. My joy for their sorrow, my blood for their salvation." So trusting by faith in the finished work of the cross. And you see what he says? Not focusing on our struggles, not focusing on the things that we are going through so much, even though we do go through these and we pray for one another. But it says, always overflowing. I wrote this down. Always overflowing with thanks for this great gift of salvation. You see what he says? He says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You know, it's easy to grumble today, isn't it? I find myself doing that some. Why? Why another day of this? Why am I here in an empty room with my wife and John preaching to this microphone? Why can't everyone be here? We want to grumble so quickly, don't we? But he says, we focus on this second R, this reconciliation that's been brought to us, this joy in Christ. And it says, how could we not be overflowing with gratitude? You know, I heard a couple of times this week, in all the struggles we've had, one commentator I heard on a news broadcast said, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world, in America. We are better off than 99.9% of the world's population today. We live in a great country, and we ought to wake up every day saying, "Thank you, I was born in America." You know, as believers, I think we should wake up every day saying, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm a citizen of heaven today. Thank you that I have been brought into this understanding of the revelation and revealed, you have revealed to me who you are. You have reconciled me to yourself and made me your child. You have given me an inheritance in heaven that is beyond the scope of my understanding, and the joy that I think I have now, I have no idea of the joy, because I am privileged to know you, and I'm grateful. And I worship you because I woke up again today and I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just on my journey home because you have reconciled me to yourself. You have paid the price for my sin. You have come to save me." And there are struggles in life, but they seem small compared to that, don't they? Paul said, these things in life, even the things that I gain, they're but rubbish next to the knowledge of knowing Christ and coming into the power of his resurrection and coming to be with him one day. Reconciled. Not anything that I have done, but God has done it all. And Paul says, it's a complete work. In fact, Jesus, when he finished that his work on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say that's 90% of it. Now they'll figure out the other 10 on their own, right? No, he said it's finished. The price has been paid. We should overflow with gratitude, folks, in the midst of our struggles. And the last point we want to really look at tonight of these three R's is something for us to do. And it's that last R is recognition of who he is or who Christ is. And he says, see that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception. In other words, no one kidnap you or trap you and take you away from the truth of the understanding of your understanding of the revealing of who Christ is, your reconciliation and your rooted and groundedness in all that Christ has accomplished for you. Let no one with empty philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Don't get caught up in traditions and the things of men. Don't get caught up in things you can do that you do over and over again that the Bible says that may seem to have worth or may seem very religious, but they are just things. You know, God doesn't want our tradition. God wants your heart. God wants you and me, all of us, all of us. For in him is the fullness of deity. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. You have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. This recognition of who he is. Of who he is. He's God. He's God in the flesh. It says full deity dwelt in that body. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, beloved, we do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits and see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, and is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, because he's revealed himself to you, because he's reconciled himself to you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 5, he goes on to say, John does, the one who believes in the Son of God or recognizes and has this recognition or testifies that Jesus is God in the flesh, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And the one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Jesus is God in the flesh, a great mystery. I wish I could explain that to you. You know, we sometimes say, oh, those disciples, they just didn't get it. If I would have been there, I certainly would have gotten it. But can you imagine seeing a man stand in front of you in the flesh, just like you and me, who ate, who got tired, who was weary from travel or whatever, and needed to rest like you and I? Would you look at that man and say, man, that's God in the flesh? But there were those that recognized it, those that he revealed himself to, because God had called them and given them to the Son, and he revealed himself, and they said, and they looked at Jesus and they said, I've never heard anyone speak this way. And the miracles that he's done, I've never seen anyone do this. Some just wouldn't believe. They wanted another miracle, and give us another sign before we will believe. But God in the flesh, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says there that that Jesus was, let me turn back there a second. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. You know what that word means in the Greek? It means that he is the exact outshining or the glory of God himself because he is God. He is the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purifications of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so this one, Jesus, this great mystery, God in the flesh, how can that be? Well, God knows. God alone can save us from sin. God alone came to save us from his wrath against our sin, from himself, really. And the best place to be safe today from the wrath of God is to be found in God. This knowledge of God, apprehension or understanding of the truth, has been brought to us by revelation of God revealing himself to us. This wisdom of this application to life and walking in truth, this growing up in our faith, this knowledge of who he is and wanting to be pleasing to him, this reconciliation that has been brought about is by God's power, and it is enough. It's finished. We are complete in him, forgiven, our sins washed away. Wisdom and judgment is just putting into practice, practically in life, and walking before him in the struggles of life, knowing that you and I belong to Jesus if you've trusted him as your Savior. Nothing can take that away. Not a pandemic, not a war, not a political party, not any struggle. But there are struggles. So I want you to be encouraged tonight. Paul said in Colossians, I want you folks to focus on these things, that you have come to an assurance of understanding of who Christ is. And you have been reconciled by his work on the cross, by his willingness to go there and to die for your sins and for mine. You see, he had to come in a body. He had to be in a human form, but yet all God, somehow fused together, because there was blood flowing through his veins. It was perfect blood. It was sinless blood. He was that perfect sacrifice that willingly went to the cross for you and for me. There was no other way to reconcile us, to have our sin removed as a barrier between us and our God. And he did that for us. He reconciled us to himself. He gave all of himself. And it's a finished work. You are complete in Christ. We are to grow up, yes. We are to study God's word. We are to pray. We are to continue to pray and continue to grow. It's a lifelong journey. But recognize that Jesus is God. And he came to save you and me. How could we not be, like Paul says, overflowing with gratitude? We've got much to be thankful for tonight. We're headed home. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but we're citizens of heaven. And we have a great Savior who has gone ahead to prepare a place for us to dwell with him in fellowship forever. And he's not left us alone here in the struggle. The Spirit that lives within us encourages us, teaches us, guides us through the struggles, helps us to persevere, and to hang on to the hope that is sure and fixed, a confidence in the gospel and a confidence in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be encouraged tonight in who you are in Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you tonight for who you are. God in the flesh, come to rescue us from our sin so that we could be with you forever. Lord, we do pray for one another, though. We do pray for our struggles. They're real. And sin is rampant in our world, and disease, and all of these things. But Lord, the greatest thing we'll be free of one day is we will be free from the presence of sin. We'll be with you. Lord, help us to just think on these three R's, these that you have revealed yourself to us. We know you in a personal and intimate way. By your power, we're reconciled. And Lord, we give full knowledge and assurance in our hearts, and we proclaim, we recognize that you are God, and you have come and saved us from our sin. Help us to be grateful in the midst of the struggles in all things. In Christ's name we pray tonight. Amen.
By the door when I came in to the gift boxes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
One when we came in, too.
Really? Oh, there's two sitting there, so I just brought them in and set them on the table.
Okay.